Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today we have another episode in the series about different ways in which we learn, because I think it's really important to look at different ways that we learn, because it's not all the same. And there are other ways other than just courses and where we learn new things and develop new skills. And of course, one of them is having a podcast. I know that I've learned a lot since I started English with Kirsty. And I did an episode about that, so I'm not going to go back over that old ground, but I thought it would be nice to bring some other podcasters onto the show to speak with them about what they've learned, but also to make it a bit harder for myself and a bit more interesting to speak with people that I don't know very well or don't know at all, because, you know, that brings some new voices to the podcast and it means that we get some other conversations. So that's what I did. And I have three guests here today. And we're just going to go around and find out who everyone is. So if we start with Lisa, who are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. And thanks for having us on the podcast. I must admit, I'm also a bit nervous, even though we have our own podcast as well, me and Nina, who's also here.
Hi.
But this is the first time that we're actually guests on another podcast and also the first time speaking English on a podcast. So yeah, I'm a bit nervous, but also positively excited. And yeah, I am Lisa, I'm 30 years old. I am a translator for Spanish and English, sworn only for Spanish. I translate mostly into German and mostly legal documents, some marketing text as well, but yeah, it's mostly legal documents. And together with my wonderful colleague Nina, I have a podcast which is called Translation Treasures, which we co-founded the beginning of this year, actually, only. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing this project together, and also a lot of work, a lot of unexpected challenges, but all over, we love doing it. And yeah, I'm happy to talk about this today and be here.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting podcast. For anyone who speaks German, definitely check it out. We were just saying before we started that it's nice to have some content in German too, but it's great because I like what you're doing, because it's for people in the translation industry, but it's also you don't have to have a lot of knowledge to understand. You know, you explain things, you talk about differences between different types of roles. I think it's really nice that anyone who's maybe thinking about becoming a translator can learn a lot from you as well, because you don't expect people to have a lot of knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks that you're saying this, because this is exactly what we want to achieve with the podcast. So if you as a listener say that we actually make that happen, that makes me very happy.
That's true.
Okay, so we've already mentioned Nina, so if you go next to your introduction.
Sure. Also, thank you for having me and us on your podcast. I'm really excited as well, because only speaking in English about our podcast is something which feels very unusual. But yeah, I'm excited to do this today. So like we said, my name's Nina, I'm 24, and I'm a translator for English, so English to German. I mostly work in the areas of tourism, marketing, and also for sworn translations, so official documents and stuff. And I also teach. I teach English in Germany, so for German-speaking employees in companies, but also for what we call VHS. Maybe you know that in England as well. That's kind of an evening school we have here. And yeah. I have my podcast with Lisa since the beginning of this year, and we're having a lot of fun explaining what we do, showing what you can do with in our profession, in our area. And yeah, it has been quite a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to talking about this more today.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, is to make it fun, because work, but it can also be a lot of fun. You get to speak with people that you may otherwise not have come across. Or
absolutely, we've met so many people already, and we've only done like 8 episodes, which is not that much if you think about that. So, yeah, it has been quite an adventure, I'd say.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to many more.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you for that. And our third guest is David. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me as well, of course. My name's David. I am a freelance translator working from French and German to English, primarily in the fields of sustainability, but my background is in accounting, so I also do sort of general corporate reporting and sort of business law and contracts sort of texts. I also teach French, well, I teach French and German to English translation at University College London, that's UCL. In London, won't surprise you to hear. And yes, I am part of the team that makes a podcast called Source to Target. So that's the word source, the number two, and then the word target. And we are aimed primarily at people who are either studying translation, are about to move into the field of translation, or are sort of curious about what it means to be a translator. So kind of like your podcast, I suppose, in that it's quite a broad audience. We tend to aim at the sort of newer entrants to the market, and it's meant to be sort of, you know, trying to plug some of the holes in what you don't learn at university, because there isn't time.
Cool. So we've got two kind of similar podcasts, but in different languages. And we'll put the links to both of the podcasts on the show notes page as well. So when did your podcast start, David? How long has it been
Oh.
going?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't say about 3 years ago.
Wow.
This summer was our third year. Yeah. And we average about one season a year because it takes a very long time for us to do it. Because it's
Yeah.
very much only a part-time job, as I'm sure all of you know. It takes a
Yeah.
lot longer to make a podcast than you think it does.
Yeah, absolutely. We underestimated it so much. We thought like, yeah, publishing like one episode a week or something, and then we realized how much work it is, and we just said, okay, once a month is absolutely fine. We'll stick with that and we'll see how it goes.
I was actually about to ask because, just like Nina said, in the beginning, we were dreaming about, yeah, maybe once a week. But at this point, it's absolutely not possible for the both of us. And we're two people having this podcast. But
Yeah.
I think you actually both publish one episode per week. Is that right, David and Kirsty?
Oh no, not every week. We do
Not every week.
one a week whilst we're releasing a season. So we tend to release over the summer, when sort of students have more time to listen.
Ah,
So
okay.
yeah,
And then
no,
you have
we're not
a
producing 52 a year.
that
right,
will
right.
be a lot.
Because I was only listening to that one episode, and I thought I catched a glimpse at Apple Podcast, and it said weekly, but maybe I read that wrong. But
Weekly while seasons are releasing.
okay, but at least well. And you, Kirsty?
Mine, it goes through different phases because it English with Kirsty started 10 years ago, so.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
true. That's amazing.
It's got about 280, so we're averaging around 28 a year. So it's like every 2 weeks, I guess. But there are some times when I just like during the lockdown, I took a break and I didn't have ideas, and I thought, well, I'm not going to put stuff out when I have no ideas because that's boring. I don't want to bore myself or my listeners. And also the podcast in that time, you know, I've changed in 10 years, so the podcast changed as well. So it went through like a transition period where I didn't put so much content out. Now it is kind of weekly, but if I have a week off or if I don't have an idea, then it's okay. I don't feel like I must put something out because it's a weekly podcast. I think if I have something to say, then it goes out. I don't do any more than that. Like if I've recorded two episodes today, but they won't go out in the same week because I think it's like I want to give each episode some time to be seen and to talk about it a bit. But I think it just depends. You've got have to make it work for you because we're not being paid to do the podcast, and
That's true.
absolutely,
I
yes,
don't
for
have
sure.
advertising. If I do anything, I talk about what I'm doing in at English with Kirsty, but I don't have sponsors, I don't have advertisers, so I want to make it the best that I can with the time that I have. And sometimes that means that we skip a week and then like.
I think that's a good approach. Makes sense because quality over quantity, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, 28 a year is still an astonishing number.
Absolutely. Oh,
I could
don't go
not have
back to
done
the first ones. They weren't. They weren't. I mean,
that.
they were pitched at a different audience, but that's not what I'm doing now. It's a lot more kind of deeper conversations and content for the level of English that my clients tend to have, which is higher than when I started. So it's a lot easier, like putting stuff out for a lower level of English. Because you need a more basic idea, and then you kind of go with that. But really, I started because everybody was going on about videos, and I didn't want to do videos. So I thought, okay, I'll do a podcast, which now there are a lot of video podcasts. But at the time, it was like that there has to be an alternative for this thing I don't want to do. And I've always really enjoyed using podcasts for language learning, for German, and then I was learning Turkish for a while, so finding content in Turkish on podcast, and just using it for my language skills. So I'd be interested for all of you, like, why did you decide to start a podcast?
Why? Oh,
Yeah,
that's a good
why? Why are you doing it?
Well, we just had too much to talk about, and we just wanted to get some microphones and
kind
get
of.
it out
So
there.
actually our podcast was created like the first week we got to know each other. So
Oh, that's nice.
we just realized that our com yeah, I don't know, the translation area and everything, it doesn't have that many podcasts, especially in German. And we were missing that, so we were realizing we want to hear something about that. And yeah, we were talking about things to get students and other people attracted to translation and interpreting. And actually, quite at the same time, Lisa and I said we should do a podcast. So at the
That was
same
such a nice
moment,
moment.
yeah,
I love
it was
remembering
so
that
cool.
moment.
Yeah, and then we just did. We talked with a few people to kind of find out how we can do that, and I think like half a year later, the first episode got out. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on LinkedIn, I think, because one of my friends liked the post you made, because I didn't know you before I started seeing this content about the podcast. And I guess you've got because translators in Germany seem to be quite well organized into like translation associations, and a lot of people know each other.
Yeah,
And
that's true. That's true indeed.
So we also are in an association, in translation association in Germany, BDU, so BDUE, if you know that in England as well. Maybe the translation people who are listening might know that. And we talked to a lot of people there if they would be interested in stuff, and the organization helped us to promote our podcast as well, and to make people, I don't know, just to have some listeners. So we needed to find a community to start, and then it keeps growing automatically, basically.
Yeah, maybe we should add, because I think the idea where we actually had that moment where we both said, let's have a podcast, let's do this, I think it came to us during a brainstorming session in a get together from a mentoring program from the
That's true.
German Association of Translators and Interpreters. And we're making so much advertisement for this program. We're not being paid to do that. We just really, really like it. And yeah, that's where we met, and we had this one get together where we were brainstorming for new ideas of how to draw more attention to our profession, because it's actually so versatile. And yeah, many people who are not from the industry probably don't really know much about it, or if think
Not
that
probably, most likely don't really know
most likely
anything
not.
about
They,
that.
yeah, or they think all translators sit at home and look up words in their dictionary all day, which couldn't be further from the truth. And combining that to educate people about what we actually do, combining that with drawing more attention to the profession and what it can be for, prospective translators. That was the idea. And quite a few people from this association were quite enthusiastic about this from the start and helped us bring this idea to bring this idea to life. And that is how it started, basically, and
Yeah,
why.
but we have to add, so when Lisa and I met, we just instantly clicked, you know? So we kind of we knew at the exact moment that This has got to be a good friendship. And
Oh,
so we
nice.
talk quite a lot. We don't live in the same city. We talk quite a lot through WhatsApp. And we made audio recordings on WhatsApp, which were like 10 minutes. And after seeing that, after 10-minute audio recordings every day, we realized, okay, we have a lot to talk. So maybe we should do that, really.
Exactly. Yeah, the
Yeah, now the
dynamic was
people
there.
benefit. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think my experience was almost the opposite in a way, in that you met and the connection was instant. You and sort of magically knew what you wanted to do. I mean, the idea for my podcast or our podcast was sort of it was bubbling away for a very long time before I actually sort of started putting it, before we started actually working on it. And I think it's one of those things. It was so long ago that I can't really remember what the initial thought was, but I think it had something to do with trying to. Being when I started thinking about it, a relatively new translator, and trying to think about, I wish someone had told me this back
Yeah,
when I was still a student.
exactly.
And I think what I've realized that as I teach more and more is that universities would love to cover all the kind of stuff that we talk about. They just don't have time. That
That's
there
true.
isn't time in the syllabus to pack in everything you need to know about running a translation business and all the other things. And I think it sort of came out of this desire to plug that hole, to fill that gap, but also try to do it in perhaps a slightly more informal way where people could absorb it at their own pace when they were ready to sort of absorb that, i.e. not whilst they're in the middle of studying, because you've got enough to do while you're working on that. So yeah, it's sort of interesting that yours was an instant magical connection, and mine sort of took a long time for me to actually start doing anything about it.
What
Yeah.
happened next? Did you go and find some collaborators, or did they kind of?
Yeah, so I knew one. I knew Nick from a very long time. We did our undergrad degree together, so that's more than 15 years ago. And then Hannah, who's the other co-host, I met her. She was studying at the same university that I did my master's at, but 2 or 3, I can't remember, 2 or 3 years after me. And I met her at a networking thing, and I thought, oh yes, this is it. This is the perfect team. So I guess, yeah, there was an element of serendipity there where the idea was already there and the team appeared to make
Then
that
that
happen.
was the moment.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But even then, it was still, it took a long time. We did a lot of experimenting and research. We recorded a few practice interviews that we never put out just to sort of see if we were happy with the format and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
How long did it take for you to publish your first episode?
Oh gosh, probably at least 18 months.
Oh my God.
Well, so
Wow.
we knew from the start that we wanted to put out entire seasons in one go. We didn't want to be sort of constantly making, and we didn't want to be making and releasing at the same time. We wanted to have a set of episodes that we would put out in one go.
That's actually not a bad idea. So it's.
Well, it depends how you think, I think, because that's the way I think about pretty much everything. But I know
Yeah.
some people, like it sounds like Kirsty, are much more spontaneous with
But
their
there's only me to think about.
well,
Like it's
it's
different. I think if you've got, I mean, obviously there's guests to think about as well, but and bringing all the guests together. But if you have a co-host or more, I think that's probably a lot more planning that needs to go into it. To yeah,
True.
it is.
It definitely has advantages and disadvantages. I mean, for me, it's mostly advantages for sure, because I love doing this with Nina. Of course, it requires more planning because you have to find dates where you're both available, and we're both quite busy, actually, right?
Yeah, planning is quite hard with us because we do have a part-time job, both of us, and we work on different days. So I work Mondays, Lisa works Tuesdays and Wednesdays, then I work Thursdays and Fridays. So it's
It's
quite hard
the
to,
classic adulting thing. It's
yeah.
horrible.
So when do you have time? Next week, December or something, or what? Oh, I don't know.
Exactly. But the wonderful advantage is that we can do all of the brainstorming together whenever my head is empty, Nina's head isn't. So this is what's so great about it. I'm really thankful actually that we can do this together.
That's true,
And
yeah.
I think it's also actually really the main reason why we were able to bring this idea to life so quickly, because we did
Yeah.
this together.
Yeah, and we kind of just, yeah, like I said, we clicked and we knew what the other person needs sometimes, I feel like. So Yeah, like you said, we realize if my battery is down for today, you take over and the other way around. So
Yeah.
that's really good to have more people in the team.
Yeah, you can
Yeah.
support each other. That's nice.
Yeah.
And it's also like a learning curve. I won't say so much about this because, as I say, I did an episode about it, but I really wanted to talk with other people about what they've learned because I found that I learned all kinds of things about myself when I started doing this. It wasn't just like, yeah, sure, you're learning because people are bringing information to the podcast episodes and you're learning interesting new things, but what other kinds of things have you learned about like yourself or the way you do things or like learning from what's worked, or I don't know, have you made any discoveries since you started the
I need to think about this a little.
I will say I have become a bit less of a perfectionist. When we first started, I would, because we were recording all online and everyone had different mics and stuff, I would spend a very long time fiddling around with the kind of audio quality and sort of chopping out, every
But you're going
time
to hate
somebody
me then
accidentally
because I
bumped
don't
their
do
mics and
anything.
stuff. Well, and then eventually I came to the conclusion that it was not a waste of time, but and I thought this is not a useful. This is not a productive use of my time. This is distracting from actually making the content. And does anyone really care if they can hear someone's breath on the microphone and that sort of thing? I think we've also become so used to, communicating with each other online that people just accept that. And they accept that, we're not the BBC, or we don't have hours and hours of editing time or fancy
We're not,
equipment.
but we're
So.
also like not a bunch of bots. And I think especially now when people are like I've heard like the whole podcast with bots talking to each other, I want people to know that we are real and we forget what we're gonna say sometimes, or if there's anything like really terrible, I'll chop it. But otherwise I think no, let it go because this was the real conversation that we had.
That's true.
Yeah, and
That's true.
you kind of just want your podcast to be authentic, so you
Exactly.
should leave in. I know. We have to say we cut out some things if there's really long pauses because our episodes are quite long. So we kind of want to shorten our episodes with that, but we leave in some stuff like my cat jumping on my desk or something because we just think it's authentic and it's fun
Love
to
animals.
Exactly. And I mean, from the start, we were also aiming for
Perfect.
the chit chat kind of vibe, right? We wanted people to, that listen to our podcast to feel like they're actually maybe in our living room with us having coffee and we're talking about interesting topics and it's not supposed to be stiff or anything. And therefore, you're right, David, what you said, who actually cares if you can hear the breath on the microphone or somebody forgets
I
what.
still do. I still do. It kind of annoys me. But
Well,
I know I'm trying to calm down with that. So I'm doing my
yeah,
best, but it's quite hard for me.
so maybe it's true for us as well, right? That we're trying to be less of a perfectionist, both of us, also when editing and stuff. So that is actually a good point that this is something that you learn about yourself,
But
and
I have to say I'm not quite there yet. So
no, for sure
well,
not.
so I mean I
Maybe
think
we.
tran yeah, sorry, you say.
No, I was gonna say I think translators are perfectionists. We are
True.
paid to be perfectionists, so it's very hard to let go of that in a more even in a more informal setting.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
Another thing that I thought about just now that I have maybe learned through the podcast is to be less self-conscious about me, but in a good way. Like, and it's not only the podcast itself, but as well, hearing your voice recorded was something before that I thought would be
Yeah,
horrible, but now
you
it's
have to get
okay.
used to that. Yeah.
And what we also do, we try to make a bit of content for our Instagram profile as well to make advertisement for the podcast. And we do reels for that. And I must say that Nina helped me a lot to get over myself doing that. Also, making them in public, which also was something that I thought before I would never do. But to be honest, right now, I think it's fun doing it actually, and I care
That's
less
true.
about what other people think. And in the end, I think that's a good thing. So.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that, but you're absolutely right. So I think if you're a person who is in which way, whatever, in the internet, you have to get comfortable with this kind of stuff. So you have to get comfortable showing yourself if you want to communicate a message or anything, basically. So,
Yeah, and that again, I feel like helps me for my translation business as
absolutely, yeah.
well, because again, something that we don't learn at university is the marketing part. Or I mean, maybe there's some classes that teach you a bit about it, but
Not
it's
enough.
not enough. And in the end, I feel it's also something that you learn by doing it. You make it up as you go, and you have to get used to it. And for me, this is one of the hardest parts, really, to show me, tell people about what I do, be self-confident about it. And that is also something that the podcast has helped me with, for sure.
That's really interesting you say that because that's I have the Networking for Language Professionals networking events, and marketing often comes up as a topic that people are talking about or have questions about or want to know what other people are doing because nobody learns that. Or nobody that I've come across is really, unless they're like very specifically from a marketing background maybe and moved into translation from there, so they already have the knowledge. But in terms of, I mean, I'm not a translator, but from what I've heard people talking about their studies, wherever they're based, there isn't a lot of content about actually running your own business, and
I
marketing.
mean, it is quite hard marketing you because everyone has to find their own way to do this. So, for example, we with our podcast, we do social media, but individually, Lisa, for example, isn't that active on social media with her business. I
No.
am, on the other hand. So I think you can't really teach marketing that well in university because it really depends on the person who you're talking to. So I know some translators that don't even have a website. So I never know how that works, but for me it wouldn't be the correct way. I just need to show what I do. I just can't go out there and talk to people. I just want to show it through videos, through pictures or whatever. And that's the best thing to do for me. But I know quite well that other people need different ways to do so.
Yeah, I guess it's knowing what your options are, isn't it? And then you can choose the one
Yeah,
that
maybe that
fits.
would be good. If they taught that in university, that would be a way to start. But yeah,
But I guess the
mostly they
problem
don't
is it's
have time.
changing all the time. Like the
That's
basic
true.
concepts aren't, but like what's working, and I guess there is a certain amount of trying. But I think talking about the idea of being more confident and being more relaxed with yourself. So what I'm thinking about this series of episodes about learning, some of the people that I've approached, I was thinking like, do I want to approach them? Oh, they've got more followers than me. Some of them are my friends, and it was like, hey, could you be on the podcast? So that was fine. But I was like, oh no. Nobody's actually said no. I was like, I don't want to be on the podcast. Everybody's been really supportive and interested. And I think that's taught me to, to try, even when I'm thinking, oh, that won't work, or that person won't want to talk to me. People generally do, and that they're open to share. Or to, I mean, it has to make sense for them as well. It has to make sense that you're in the same branch that there would be some people that wouldn't make any sense on any of our podcasts because they're doing something completely different. So I always think there has to be like a link and an idea of what you want to talk about to make it make sense. But some of my reluctance to talk to people because I thought they wouldn't be interested, that didn't prove to be right. So I learned to be a bit more bold. And what's the worst that can happen? They say no, move on.
That's it.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, I think so. And I think particularly in something like translation, where so many people are freelance and are running their own business, they're not, working for a company. You have to adopt that mindset of you have to go out and build something. It's not like there's going to be a perfect slot or a perfect job for you to just find your way into. You have to go out and make your own thing, like making your own podcast or whatever. And that brings with it an entire attitude about, being very can do in your attitude and
True.
being very proactive in the way you do things.
Yeah.
And I think that's common across all freelance business.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's liberating. It's also like, I've got so many options. Which one do I choose? Sometimes that can be a bit, but at the same time, for me, I think overall it's more liberating because you're not being pushed into a mold that doesn't feel good because you're creating the story as you're going along for your business.
Yeah, I remember one of the people we interviewed once. She was a subtitler, Jackie Ball was her name, and she absolutely loves her job. She's a huge fan of it. The whole time we were talking to her, you could tell how much she just loves being a subtitler. And she was saying she was going back to work the next week or the next day. I can't remember exactly. She was saying, how many people, are going back to work after a holiday the next day and thinking it's fine. I'm perfectly happy to go back to my desk in the morning. Just because you're in control because it's your day. If you wake up the first day back in the office after a holiday and you only want to do half a day, fine, do,
That's the beauty of it.
We get asked a lot why we decided to go freelance, but that's exactly it. So we're flexible. We can do whatever we want, basically, as long as we make some money with it.
Whenever someone asks me that, I feel like, isn't that self-explaining?
Yeah, isn't it so obvious? I mean,
Yeah.
we can work when we, for example, we don't really work the same times, Lisa and I. So
Oh God.
she works in the morning, I work in the afternoon because I just prefer working at
Yeah,
night.
you're a night
So
owl.
yeah, I definitely am. So that's just amazing that we can do that actually. So in summer, sometimes I just skip a day and go to a beach somewhere. So you could do that if you're employed. Me, it's obvious. Don't know why people are asking that.
But I remember those feelings, like when I was employed, like Sunday afternoon, oh, tomorrow's Monday
I
and
do
you
have
have
this feeling, but
to
mostly because of my part-time job. So
get that feeling. Just think if I wake up on Monday morning and it's not coming, it's not. I mean, I'm not a morning person anyway.
No.
Like,
Yeah, that's the problem. And you have to get up for part-time jobs in the morning.
yeah.
So, and normally you could sleep in and work in the afternoon. That would be fine. But yeah, on the other hand, that's difficult
Yeah.
sometimes.
I was just thinking, Kirsty, going back to your original question about what we learned from podcasting, I think in some ways it's similar to teaching, I imagine, in that when your job is to communicate something to somebody else, you really have to think about it. You have to organize your own thoughts around it, and you have to be able to, present that idea in a way that's going to make sense to someone else. And that is, it's funny how many people, when you talk to them, they know a lot about a subject, but you have to really sort of probe and question them. They've never had
True.
to sort of set it out in, 30 seconds or whatever, what exactly it is they know. And I think that a lot of people have those kinds of knowledge where they know an awful lot about a particular field or a particular subject or something like that. But because they've never had to sort of explain it to someone else, or curate that knowledge into some sort of sensible presentation that, it's not quite as clear in their mind as it could be. So, even if you're just thinking about what are you going to put on your podcast, and that is a way of thinking through what you know and what you don't know, and where what kind of questions you need to ask to fill in those gaps.
Yeah, because they're really different kinds of episodes. Like some are like this one today, like we've all got experience of a thing. It's different experience, but we're sharing. Some are when I'm asking people about I'm planning an episode with a group of people and I'm talking to them a topic that I don't know a lot about. And so it's like, well, how do I then ask the right questions when do you really have to do active listening at the same time, I think, and be listening well enough to think about where the conversation can go rather than just having like a set plan. These are the questions. We will answer these questions and then we will finish. It's like somebody could say something really interesting that could lead down a whole new line of questioning. And if you're not paying attention because you're too focused on your list of questions, then you're going to miss some really. So it's having the confidence to just go with that and see where it goes sometimes. Some people like that more than others. Some people are more open. But I think at the same time, like you're saying, sometimes people don't realize what they know or how interesting their stories are because sometimes we do like
Definitely.
people's stories and
I feel like this experience we have had with many of our guests actually, that because for many of them, I think it was also the first time being a guest in a podcast. And I mean, all over really, our experiences have been so positive, and we even in this short time we have met so many interesting, inspiring people. But many times, I feel like these people in the beginning were not even sure if their stories were so interesting or worth telling, and they absolutely were, absolutely. But
Yeah, they were amazing.
yeah, it was just so interesting to see how people see each other And then you listen to them and you're like, that's great. That's amazing material for our podcast. Please tell us more. But yeah, it's also something that they wouldn't have found out if they hadn't been on the podcast. And yeah, same thing for us. It's great that we got to hear their stories in the end.
Yeah, and I think like in the live podcast celebration episode that we did, somebody was sharing that she'd linked her podcast episode on her website, and it's like a way for people to find out more about her. And so sometimes you giving people this opportunity can help them too, because it's another way for like potential clients to get to know them. I don't believe it should just be like people coming on the podcast because they want to sell something. I don't like that vibe, and we don't do that. But you know, we're all small business owners and we're all looking for clients. So if that can help people, then why not? Because it's a way to really get to know someone and their story and all their experiences without doing it in a pushy sales kind of way.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so how about for all of you? Have there been any, I mentioned about some of the people that I been fortunate enough to speak with that maybe I wouldn't have been able to without the podcast, but have you had any other opportunities come up because you have the podcast, or anything like personally, professionally happened for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we already talked about how much we've learned so far. And also, we, like Lisa said, we talked to so many people that were so interesting. They had so inspiring, stories. And I don't think we would have had the opportunity to talk to them otherwise, or we wouldn't have taken the chance to do so. Because, of course, we had some people in the podcast we know personally, but not only. So the other people, I don't think we would have met them at all. And, yeah, also professionally, we did have some advantages, I'd say. So we got some jobs through the podcast because people just kind of knew who we are. So, for example, one of our listeners
That's good.
wrote me an email. So I have it was a translator as well, and she wrote, she has a I don't know, translation something, and she doesn't have the time for it. And she didn't know who to give it to, so she just gave it to me because she knew my name, she knew what I do, and she just thought I might be a good person to do so. And that was so nice because she doesn't know me at all. She was from Berlin, I'm from Bavaria, so it's quite a way. And she just trusted me enough to give one of her clients to me. That was so nice, and I wouldn't have expected it to come so fast into
I mean, it's
podcasting.
a good example, right, of how the podcast brought you visibility, and how
Yeah,
it is
absolutely.
also a nice way for others to. I mean, of course, she didn't know you, right? But
No, yeah.
she also did not know you,
No,
if that
she
makes
felt
sense.
comfortable. Yeah, and I know what you mean. She just
Yeah.
felt comfortable giving that to me because she listened to my voice. She kind of got the feeling how I am or who I am.
The way you work.
Yeah, exactly. So
Yeah, and I'm
I
sure also that you're a sort of thoughtful person who thinks about their job and who actually
yeah,
works
absolutely.
very hard to
Yeah, do it as well as you possibly can.
I think if you have a
Um,
podcast, you're definitely such a person because I think people know how exhausting podcasting can be. So they hopefully realize that we are hardworking people and
But also so many of your like values and your professional ethics and your professional, just your way of thinking about
Yeah,
your
that's true.
work will have gone into the views you express or the people you've invited or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that does create, it's not just, that they like you, think you seem friendly. It's that they see you as someone who is, a professional in
That's
a
true.
profession where you can't always guarantee that, that not every translator out there is,
I
I
know
shouldn't
what you
cast
mean.
aspersions, but you know what I mean. Like, if you have like a, someone could have a beautiful website and all that kind of stuff, but you don't actually really know them, it's really hard to know who to trust. So, as
True.
you say, it's about putting yourself across and creating an impression of who you are.
Yeah.
And the showing up like regularly, however, whatever that looks like, but you know, showing up saying, I'm going to do this podcast, and then regularly putting out content and being the same you in each episode, not like playing a role or something, and that helps in people to trust you more when they see that you're not different. I
Tomorrow
mean,
you'll see someone else.
on social media, sometimes you have to play a role because we kind of, yeah, we play our roles on social media that I'm the one who's always annoying Lisa to do reels. She's not that annoyed by that. She
Is that a
likes it a
role
lot.
or is that
Yeah. We kind of picked our characters that way. I'm the annoyed millennial, and Nina is the overly motivated Gen Z. It's not that way. Absolutely not.
No, not really.
But it's fun for us as well.
And then people expect that, and you can kind of build on the joke that, yeah.
That's true. Exactly. It's jokes, and I think we make it obvious that it's a joke, but
And
we're
I
having
think
fun with
that's
it.
something that makes us authentic and makes our colleagues and our clients as well feel the way we are, basically. Like you said, David, so they just realize what kind of people we are.
Yeah, and people that they want to work with, like that's what you can get to know people if you listen to enough of their voice interviewing as well, because it's like how do you treat your guests? Do you listen to your guests? Are you interested in your guests? Like all this stuff, even if you're not actually the one sharing, then people can tell a lot about you by the way that you do your podcast, I think.
That's true.
And so we're talking about people who are listening to the podcast, and some of them will be thinking, I'd like to have a podcast as well, but I don't know where to start. It's so much work. It's hard. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking of starting a podcast?
It's
I would.
not, sorry, you go first.
No, you go ahead.
Actually, it is quite a lot of work, but it's not as hard as you think. So you can start with like zero equipment. You can just start with your laptop or maybe a small microphone or something with your headphones. So it's not that hard. So just do it because you have to kind of get into it first be before you know exactly how you want to do that. I don't think you can know from the beginning. You
Yeah.
just trial and error, basically. So
Exactly.
do it and find the best way that works for you.
Yeah. And I think what also helps, so I totally agree with Nina, it's not as hard as you think, and you learn by doing it and all that. I think what helps, maybe for someone who is still a bit hesitant, is to define a niche or a topic before. Of course, you can always expand, you can always develop this further, but I think especially in the beginning, it's nice to have like a specific topic that you want to talk about. Like it doesn't have to be defined like very much in detail, but so that you know what you want to talk about and you don't run out of things that you want to talk about. Maybe you also don't have to make your episode super long in the beginning. I mean, in our experience, we
That
couldn't
doesn't work.
stop. We
No.
couldn't stop. We needed to try to make it a bit shorter sometimes. But and don't be so hard on yourself. Just try it and have fun with it for sure. That's also very important.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
I
if
think
you,
don't.
sorry,
No, I was
I
going
was
to say,
just gonna say, if you wait
don't.
till you've like perfect, you're never gonna start. So like my first microphone wasn't that great, and if I listen to the audio in some of the really early ones, I'm like, oh, Kirsty, you could have done better. But I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know if this is gonna be what I wanted, so I just kept going, and now I have a better microphone, and like I think it's okay to keep improving, and if you don't, then you have a problem because it means you stood still. But it's good to keep improving. Sorry, David, what did you want to
Oh no, I was just going to say don't just because I said it took me 18 months to make our first episode. You don't have to
say?
wait that long. That is not it's because I am an overly cautious person. That's not the way you have to do it. That's
But
all I
see,
was
this
going to
also
say.
worked out. I think this is also a nice example. You had a totally different approach, and still a super nice podcast came out of it, and with interesting topics. And there's many ways to do this. But one thing just came to my mind because I literally just saw that picture yesterday. It was a picture on Instagram, actually. But the saying was interesting and quite inspiring, I thought. It said, make it exist first, you can make it good later. And that's very blunt. Like maybe you don't have to take it that literal, but I thought that was a good saying, actually. Make it exist first, just put it out there, just do it, and then you can work on making it better. Goes for websites as well, goes for everything, actually. So I thought that was very inspiring.
Yeah, I saw someone, I can't remember who it was, somebody wrote that the root of the word perfect just means complete. It doesn't mean like it's flawless. It just means it's complete. It's done. So
Also interesting.
if it's done, by definition, it is perfect, you know. So I think
Nice.
it's quite
Okay.
a nice way of thinking about it. Don't quote me on that. I
Absolutely.
have no idea if that's true. It's just one of those
It's nice.
inspirational things I heard
I
that, yeah.
like it.
Well, there's that expression, isn't there? Like, done is better than perfect, or finish is better. Like,
Yeah, don't let
that's.
perfect be the enemy of good, yeah.
In work, in podcast, in life, in languages, because many people here are interested or who speak multiple languages. Like sometimes you can read the same email too many times before you send it. You say, oh, is that right? Or should I change it? Or is
And then you go crazy.
it? So I was just wondering before we finish, I mean, it might be a secret, so in that case, you don't need to share. But do you any of you have any plans for the podcast that you'd like to share, or is it wait and see?
We definitely have plans. I'm not 100% sure if we can share all of them already right now,
We
but
can share a few.
okay,
The
so
thing in October we can share. It's official already.
yeah. Okay,
Yeah.
you share it. So I
Okay.
know we're talking about the same
Yeah,
thing.
I need
This
the
wasn't
drum
rehearsed.
roll. Yeah, we're actually having the chance to go to quite a large book fair. You might know that in Germany, the Frankfurter Buchmesse, book fair
Oh,
in
okay.
Frankfurt. And we will have the opportunity to interview some translators who are at the book fair, who work for translating books and for different languages, actually. We don't know exactly who we will be interviewing, but I think that's going to be a really interesting episode, and it's going to
Definitely.
be much fun for both of us as well, because we can travel to Frankfurt together. We can do a lot of content on
Yes.
the way there
Yes, and it's a
for our
very
social
interesting,
media.
yeah, and
Get
it's a
some
very
reels
interesting
made.
topic. Yeah, exactly, that too, for sure. No, but also because we've had many different topics and many different translators and interpreters already on the podcast, but one thing we haven't covered at all so far is translation of books.
Yeah,
And
literature.
yeah, I think it's definitely something very interesting. It doesn't matter if you're in the translation industry or not. So we're very excited for that.
Yeah, and besides that, we just try to keep going. We try to find different topics that we haven't talked about that much, and try to find interesting guests. So we're gonna stick to our monthly episodes at for the next time, and then we'll see how it goes. We
We'll see
have
where it goes. Yeah.
a few plans for next year to have a few specials and stuff, but nothing specific that is worth mentioning yet.
Okay. Well, then we need to follow you and
Absolutely. And
keep our
also
lips on
on social media to get a bit more behind the scenes.
So that's Instagram is the
Yeah,
main platform.
we actually post the exact same stuff on Instagram and LinkedIn, but Instagram, of course, is better for the way we post. So LinkedIn is just good to have.
Okay. And David, your s next
Oh,
season?
you've been giving me time to think. We are we're in a bit of a period of transition at the moment, so I don't want to say too much until we're sure
Okay.
what's going on. But I will tell you that a couple of ideas that we've been thinking about were spending some more time on interpreting, because the three of us are translators. We talk about translation, but people have been asking us to talk about interpreting. We were also thinking about having a look at specialisms and the different types of specialisms that are out there. So that might be a sort of an entire season to itself, because I'm sure you know there are
Wow.
lots of things you could specialize
Cool.
in.
Yeah, true.
And I'm sorry to plug this, but one of the reasons we're sort of in a transition is we've just launched today, actually, on the date of recording,
Wow.
something entirely new for us, which is a course, which is
Oh.
meant to, it's basically, it's framed as a mini series of the podcast. So you get a sort of short recording from one of our guests, and then a series of exercises to complete. And it's called The First 12 Weeks of Your Translation Career. And the idea is it comes out once a week, as the name implies, and it just hopefully provide a bit of structure for students once they
That's so
graduate.
cool.
Yeah, so
Thank you.
that's come out today, and that's been taking up a lot of our time.
Oh,
So
for sure.
yeah, so sorry, that's a very
Congratulations on the
vague answer.
launch.
Thank
Yay.
you. Thank you very much.
Is it
Yeah.
too late to sign up, or can people like?
No, it is. We have literally just opened registrations. We are officially kicking up on the 6th of October. But people can join whenever, but 6th of October is when the first episode, the mini episode, will drop. And that is it's all on our LinkedIn. We use LinkedIn. We don't have a Gen Zer to do our Instagram for us. So yeah, we use LinkedIn as our main communication channel. And all the details are up there. Right, sorry, plug over.
Great.
It's
No, no,
because
that's
that's
super interesting.
Yeah, because I think there are a lot of people who are in this position. I don't know if they listen to the podcast, but I have people in this position on my in my LinkedIn network. So if you want to include the link in the show notes page, if you send me the link, I can include it
That would be great. Thank
so
you.
we can click through.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm sort of curious to see what's going to happen because we've got it's all former guests who are all coming on to do each installment. So there's a few on marketing, there's a few on setting up the admin side of things, and then there's looking to the future as the last bit. So it's a wide variety of stuff and some really interesting content in there, and I hope it's going to go down well because I think it's really good and I wish I'd had it.
Yeah, it's only easy to see that looking back, isn't it? Like, what do I wish I'd had when I started? I really wish I'd had like a proper network, because I didn't do anything about that for a couple of years because a lot of teachers were only like teaching in schools, and that wasn't really my situation because I was looking for my own clients and that kind of thing. So we could talk about, teaching topics, but and then a lot of the networking groups I found were very kind of local focused, which also doesn't work for me because I have this international client base. And so like it took me a while to really find some people that got me and that got the challenges that you have sometimes as a small business owner. And it was once I did that was really nice to oh, other people don't know what they're doing with marketing, and like there are actually some good courses out there, not just
It's
the
such a relief finding like-minded people and seeing that you're not alone. That's true. Yeah.
I think so many translators face the same challenges when they're starting out.
Definitely.
All the time, basically. You always got your problems to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're changing as well, because sometimes when I have the networking events, the challenges that people have nowadays when they start out as a translator and not the challenges that people had to think about in the past,
For
it's
sure.
like it's not just because the people are new to the industry, it's because things have changed quite a lot
Yeah, the
as well.
industry is changing all the time, so
I sort of
I
agree
mean,
and disagree slightly in that I
okay.
think that I do think things are changing in the technology and the way we work, but I still believe there is a sort of core of what we do that hasn't changed at
Yeah.
all, and that I don't think will ever really change. It's my
Hopefully.
possibly slightly controversial opinion, but
No, I'd agree.
I think there's one of the things I'm really interested in at the moment is sort of the core skill of translation and the role it plays in our businesses, and how it's weird that we almost don't really talk about that bit of it very much, which I suppose is why you have the podcast that you do, is that to share that part of of being a translator. So yeah, I think there are changes, but also I would say of all the episodes we put out, at least 90% of them are still completely relevant. Like they cover topics that don't change.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't very clear, and also I'm not a translator, so I can't speak from my own experience, but when I said that, I meant like some of the running a business topics seem a bit more relevant than maybe they were in the past when work was coming from other places, and
Oh, yeah,
it
absolutely,
was easier
absolutely.
to get it, and you didn't have to like promote yourself and your services in the same way. That's kind of where I was going with
Absolutely.
that.
Oh yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Sometimes I think when things are changing, you need something to grab onto that's not going to change as well. And I think that's in any field, translation, teaching, engineering, whatever.
That's true.
the core competencies of what you're doing. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll definitely put the link to the course in on our webpage then. Does anyone have any final thoughts or final things they want to share before we finish?
That's always the hardest question.
Yeah. No, normally
You're
we're the
an
ones
animal,
to
which
ask
animal would
it,
you?
right? I always think it's funny when you get a guest who comes along who's got something they clearly want to say, and you're tr constantly trying to give them the opportunity to say it, and then
Something deep and
in the end, you just say,
meaningful.
"What is it? What was it you wanted to say?"
Well, if there's anything I still want to add, because this is an episode about podcasting and learning through podcasting, I'm really happy that we started this podcast. It has very beneficial for me in every way, and I love doing it. So I'm thankful for everyone who listens to it. I'm very thankful that we could be guests today on this podcast. Like,
It's great
was
to have
really
you.
exciting. We were really happy about it. And yeah, also if there's somebody out there thinking about starting a podcast and someone who has an idea, yeah, just do it.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely emphasize that element of working with other people and collaborating with people who you otherwise might not have met has been, I think, the single biggest benefit of running a podcast. Absolutely.
And you never know where that will go. It's like often you meet somebody because they did an episode with you, and then I don't know, maybe you come across each other again, or maybe you collaborate on some other project, or maybe one of you refers the other one. You just never know once you've started that.
Yeah, that's the beauty about networking.
Yeah, very exciting part.
Yeah, and important as well in our whole industry and for freelancers in general, like we said.
Yeah, so the names of the podcast again are Translation
Okay.
Treasures
Yeah.
and Source to Target, the number two. So go and check them out. Well, go and check out Translation Treasures if you speak German. And yeah, I look forward to hearing your new content, both of you. And yeah,
Thank
thank
you.
you again for coming on the podcast and sharing what you've learned through being a podcaster.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
you
We had a
so
lot of fun
much.
today. It's been great. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.